Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel on this final day of August 2000 and, 2020 this year? It's the final day of August regardless, but with Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and if it's 3 p.m. Central, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live. And if you have Bible questions or if you're struggling with how to live the Christian life, how it's really supposed to work, well, we invite you to call and speak directly with us right now. The number is 844-322-2742. CSN and SiriusXM listeners, you can get your questions to us at by voicemail at the same number in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you because it's Basic Gospel, everybody. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Man, there's so much to talk about there out there in the world, and we would love to talk about it today on Basic Gospel. So if you have a question, a comment, something that you want to talk about, call right now at 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. We're talking about the grace of God and common misconceptions mm-hmm. that people have. I put out a post last week about six common misconceptions that people have concerning the grace of God. Today we're going to look at misconception number five, and it is this, that law and grace are equal. And here's the truth. They are not.
Right.
The Mosaic covenant, that law, that covenant that God made between himself and the people of Israel, where the Ten Commandments are kind of the central issue or the central feature mm-hmm. Of that covenant, that is not equal to the grace of God, not in any way, shape, or form. Those are laws written on tablets of stone. If we're going to be saved, it can't be through laws written on tablets of stone. We need the work of the Spirit of God, and that happens through the grace of God. So if you believe that they are, you will blend them together, and that's what we find happening out there in Christianity today, that people continue to blend law and grace. They try to balance the grace of God out with the law of God. Well, the Scripture never tells us to do that. The Scripture never calls us to do that. The Scripture lays out very clearly that the law had a purpose, and that purpose was diagnostic. That purpose was to show us our need for a Savior. So in Romans chapter 3, we see the law shuts our mouths and makes us accountable to God, and that through the law we gain the knowledge of sin. Mm-hmm. We see what our real condition is, but that's where the law leaves us. It cannot save us. It simply diagnoses our spiritual condition and points us to Jesus Christ. And it's through Jesus that we're saved. It's through his grace that we are saved. Now, here is a fantastic passage out of Galatians chapter 3, and it's in a context of a question that Paul raises. Why then the law? And he says it was added because of transgressions until the offspring should come to who the promise had been made, and it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. And he goes on to say, is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not, for if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. So the law, as wonderful as it is, as good as it is, as right as it is, because it was given to us by God, it was limited. It cannot give life. It can only condemn, judge, and sentence a person to death. That's what the law does, and that's what the law of God does in each of our lives. It judges us, it condemns us, and then it pronounces sentence, and that sentence is death. Mm-hmm. So that's the purpose of the law. It cannot impart life. It cannot make us righteous. It cannot do anything that the grace of God did for us. So if you want to be saved, it's not going to be through obedience to the law. If you want to live in the fullness of life that you have in Jesus Christ, it's not going to be through obedience to the law. It's going to be by faith in the one who loved you and gave himself for you. So do not equate law with grace. Recognize the purpose of the law. And once you have come to Christ, realize that that purpose has been fulfilled in you, and the law has stepped back and given way to Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews says that the law, that Mosaic covenant, was weak and useless. Now, have you ever heard the Ten Commandments described like that, as being weak and useless? Well, they are as far as producing righteous behavior. They are as far as imparting life. They are as far as saving us, delivering us from death to life.
Yeah.
The law can't do any of that. So let's recognize the purpose of the law. Let's recognize the limits of the law. And let's recognize the temporary nature of the law. It was time-stamped. It had a beginning and had an end. The beginning was Mount Sinai after the Exodus from Egypt. The end was the cross 2,000 years ago. The end for you and me is when we believe in Jesus, when we accept Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. We are set free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So the law had a purpose. That purpose was good and holy and righteous, but that purpose was limited. It took the grace of God to save us. It takes the grace of God to sustain us. And when all is said and done, we're going to be trophies of grace. We're not going to be trophies of the law. Yeah. We're going to be trophies of grace. So let's not mix law and grace. Let's recognize their purposes. And now that we're saved, let's realize that we're under the grace of God, and that the grace of God is going to be the very thing that moves in our hearts, that enables us to live righteous and holy lives in this present generation, that is going to be sufficient in every circumstance of life that we find, and is going to be the very thing that we are cast in eternally as a trophy of grace.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bob, for those thoughts. And friends, thank you for being with us. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to hear from you. The number 844-322-2742. That's wide open right now. So if you're hearing the broadcast at roughly 7.5, 8 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, it is the live broadcast, and we would love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. And all of the things that Bob has been describing and more are included in his book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And if you've been struggling with the Christian life and trying to understand what it's all about and how to live it day by day, well, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace will bear the answer for you. It will show you the way out of that bondage of trying hard to please God. And we're going to send you a copy this final day of August to say thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. And to do that, you can make your gift by clicking donate at basicgospel.net, and we'll send you a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Then share this great news with those closest to you. Order an additional copy or two to share with them at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. That's a special website just for the orders of this particular book, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. How the Christian Life is Really Supposed to Work. It's a message people need to hear, so help your family and friends by sharing Simple Gospel, Simply Grace with them. Visit SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com to order additional copies. Well, once again, that phone number, 844-322-2742. And Bob from Perryton, Texas, a question from Kim. Please help me understand the difference between Christ helping me live the Christian life and then letting Christ do it all through me. What does that actually look like practically?
Well, that's a wonderful question. And Christ helping me is like a parent helping a child do something. So we come alongside of a child and we do what we can. Like my little grandson, Kai, he loves to play golf. He's just 2 years old, but he loves to swing a golf club.
And he's good.
Now, I will come alongside him and help him do something, but it's still up to him to carry it out. Mm-hmm. Now, as far as living the Christian life, it is God's Spirit that aligns our minds and our attitudes with the very purposes of God, and then it's the Spirit of God that empowers us to carry it out. I would love to be able to empower Kai to hit golf balls like Tiger Woods, but I don't have that in me. The Holy Spirit can empower me to do that. Now, here's some verses that are very helpful as far as this is concerned. We have become one with God's Spirit. That's 1 Corinthians 6:17. So we have been joined to God's Spirit. Mm-hmm. So we're not in this alone. He is right there with us and in us. And we are fused together as one. We are one spirit with the Lord. The second thing, second passage, is in Romans chapter 5, and it says that the love of God has been poured into our hearts by the Spirit. So God's Spirit has poured His love into our hearts. We didn't have that before, but now we have the love of God living just right there in our hearts. We also have the Spirit to teach us what that love of God is all about. And then as we trust in Jesus Christ, as we walk by faith, we're going to manifest that love into the lives of others. So mm-hmm. It is a fruit of the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the source of everything good that comes out of us. Yeah. And we get to experience that. Why? Because we're in union with Him. But God is the source. He is the vine. We are the branch. That's how this works. Mm-hmm. So if Christ came along just to help us, then He's not really the source. He's just providing wisdom, and then we provide the muscle. We do the heavy lifting. But that's not the way it is in the Christian life. He is the source, and as we depend upon Him, we're going to see His life being lived in and through us.
Absolutely. Well, Kim, hope that's a help to you, and thanks for reaching out. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you if you have that burning question, why we would like to pour water on it right now, the water of the Word, of course. 844-322-2742, that's the number in the U.S. and Canada. In the meantime, Bob, a question from Pat, who writes to us from Franklin, Texas. Says, I enjoy your program and listen daily. I would love to hear your thoughts on Hebrews 12:5-11, where it addresses the chastening of the Lord toward His children. I have acquaintances who believe we can lose our salvation due to sinful ways or leaving the Lord. I'm sure this passage proves otherwise, as the Lord disciplines His own, those who have sinned and need loving attention from their Heavenly Father. Please elaborate on this so I can address it more thoroughly and accurately with those who believe their salvation can be lost.
Well, here's the deal. We think of discipline in terms of punishment, that God is punishing us for some past act. But that's not the purpose of discipline. Discipline is future-oriented. Mm-hmm. So there's teaching, there's instruction, there's correction, there's all of that that the Holy Spirit does in our lives to produce a harvest of righteousness. That is the end of this passage here, that for the moment all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So there's a purpose for discipline, and that purpose for discipline is this peaceful fruit of righteousness. So if it had to do something with punishment, if it had to do something with justice, then it would be something that was looking back and making things right from a judicial standpoint. But all things have already been made right from a judicial standpoint through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He took our sins upon Himself, and in exchange He gave us His righteousness. So we have already been made right with God. We will always be in the right as far as God is concerned. Why? Because He's made us that way. He has given us His righteousness. He has imputed that righteousness to us. So this isn't about justice. This isn't about punishment. This is about training us up as His children so that we can bear the fruit of righteousness. The other aspect of this passage that is very, very important for us to understand, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. So the very act of God to discipline us so that we can produce or bear a harvest of righteousness is assurance that we are indeed children of God. If he did not discipline us, it would mean that we were illegitimate and not sons. So, no, this passage does not teach in any way, shape, or form that you can lose your salvation. It just shows just a different facet of the incredible love that God has for us, that he's going to get involved with us in such a way so that we can truly enjoy his life and this fruit of righteousness to the full. Yes. That's the love of God. And it's the fact that he disciplines us gives us the assurance that we truly belong, that we truly are children of God.
Pat, thanks for reaching out. Hope that's a help to you. Again, open lines, 844-322-2742. And Bob, all month we've been celebrating the fifth anniversary of the release of your book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Now, we've offered a copy to our donors to say thanks for their support, and we've been encouraging our listeners to share and help others to see the truth of the gospel in Jesus Christ. And since this is the final day of August, give us your thoughts, Bob, as we close the donor offer at midnight tonight.
Well, I wrote this book 5 years ago just to help believers really in their struggles. Mm-hmm. And come to a point and realize that the way of the Christian life is the way of grace, by grace, through faith.
Right.
And when somebody understands that and really embraces that, the struggle is gone. Rest becomes a quality of life that you experience day in and day out, knowing that you stand in the righteousness of God, knowing that you are fully alive in Christ, and knowing that Christ is fully alive in you. You just breathe this sigh of relief. Just rest overwhelms you. And then through that rest, you start to understand what true and genuine trust in the Lord is all about. Mm-hmm. And in that trust, you begin to experience the fruit of the Spirit in ways that you never dreamed possible. And this Christian life becomes a real joy.
Yeah.
You can know patience when you need patience. Mm-hmm. You can know what self-control is without having to fight the flesh or having to do all of these things. You just realize it becomes a fruit of the Spirit.
Mm-hmm, right.
So if you want to end the struggle, if you want to let go of frustration, if you want to let go of fear and guilt, this is a book that will help you do all of those things and fully embrace and take hold of this eternal life that is yours in Christ Jesus. Now, if this is your story, get a copy for you and realize that this is going to be the story of most Christians that you meet, and you can help them in the struggle. So when you buy a copy, get a second.
Sure.
So that you can pass on to somebody else. And let's help end the struggle for a lot of believers, mm-hmm, that are wrestling with the Christian life and trying to figure out how to make it work.
Absolutely. And this is the final day of the offer of a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace when you make your August donation to support Basic Gospel. And as Bob said, think about others who need to hear the truth about God's grace and order an additional copy or two to share with them. You can do that at SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com, a special website set up just for book purchases, SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. We hope you'll visit there today. Another question that came in by email, Bob, was this one from Eric. How do you know when it's time to move on from your current church home and find another?
Well, I think the first thing is the message from the pulpit. Is the message from the pulpit in line with the gospel? Is it a grace-oriented message, or is it legalistic? Is it law-based? And I think if you start hearing something that from the pulpit and from the leadership that is moving the church away from the grace of God, away from simple faith in Jesus Christ, into human effort, human responsibility, all of those things, law-based living, then it's time to first maybe have a conversation with the pastor or somebody in leadership and find out what's really going on there. Mm-hmm. And once you have that conversation, I think you're going to get a good feel of whether you need to leave the church or not. Now, there are some people that are involved in churches where there is a mix of law and grace. But they have a platform. They have an opportunity to teach and share the grace of God. If that platform is taken away, then it's time to move on. So just listen to the message, what's being taught. If it doesn't align with the simple and pure gospel of Jesus Christ, the mm-hmm. grace of God, then I think that's an indication to move on and find a place that does. Or if you have a voice in a particular church where you can communicate the grace of God and your voice is being silenced because you're not in line with the teaching of the leadership, then I think it's time to move on as well.
Eric, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. And Bob from South Australia, question from Ben, he says, G'day. That's G'D-A-Y. I like that that contraction there. G'day. Thanks for your encouraging ministry. Just wondering if we will literally see God the Father and God the Holy Spirit when we are resurrected, and what form will they take? And how will we interact with Jesus physically in the new heaven and earth? Will he travel around visiting as he did 2,000 years ago? Interesting speculations are welcome. That's from Ben in South Australia.
Well, thanks, Ben. It is awfully nice to hear from you, and thanks for listening from down under. But as far as God the Father is concerned and God the Holy Spirit, as we learn in that conversation Jesus had with the woman at the well, he said God is spirit. So God doesn't take a physical form until Jesus entered into our world and took upon himself flesh and blood. So God the Father is spirit. Of course, God the Holy Spirit is spirit. So we're going to interact with them on a spiritual basis, a spiritual level. We also know that God is light. So his light is going to be the light that we live in and in the new heavens and the new earth. Now, as far as Jesus, he was physically raised from the dead. He has a physical resurrected body, and we're going to have bodies just like his. And so we're going to interact with him on that physical plane. Now, how all that's going to spell itself out, we're going to just have to wait and see. Certainly, the Word of God gives us a few insights into that, but I think we'll just have to wait and see once we get there in these new resurrected bodies.
Yeah. Well, we love hearing from all of our listeners, Kim and Pat and Eric and Ben, and thanks for reaching out to us here at Basic Gospel. We hope the answers that you've received have been helpful to you and will continue to be as you move forward day by day. Well, it's just about time for us to wrap this edition up, everybody. Please remember that Basic Gospel is a listener-supported ministry, and we deeply appreciate your prayers and your gifts to help us keep this good news coming every day. We can't do it without you. You can make your gift anytime at basicgospel.net. And to celebrate this final day of the fifth anniversary month of Bob's book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, we'll send you a copy to say thanks for standing with us in this month of August. But, of course, today is the last day. We also hope you'll take the initiative to make sure everyone close to you has a copy. Everyone needs to know how the Christian life is really supposed to work, and they'll learn through the pages of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. For your additional copies, visit SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Again, that's SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. And, of course, to make your contribution during these final hours of this particular month, visit BasicGospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.